You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.
All right, good afternoon. I'm Paul.
And I'm Sherry.
We're here to do the second First Half Parenting Podcast, and we're ready to go. You ready, babe?
I'm ready.
Good, Let's go. All right. So, hey, if you listened in last time, we explained First Half Parenting, kind of explained the concept. If you missed that podcast, our inaugural podcast, I'd encourage you to get back into it. Check it out so you can understand first half parenting. Today, we're going to explain the first baby step in the first half parenting journey. But first, we want to answer a listener question. Vicky asked, how do I maintain consistency in punishments and rewards for my kids? Babe?
Well, I think for us, we really struggled with that as well. When our kids were little, we found ourselves adjusting the punishment whether we were tired or if we were happy or we were angry or we were, I think our emotions controlled how we gave the punishment. And also, the rewards. Sometimes we were busy, so we were like, oh, just whatever. Or, we were very focused, we gave great rewards. So we were just like realizing in both of us that wasn't really a very productive way to parent. So we came up with this idea of let's have like a discussion together and talk about what our family really needs to address as far as punishments and then what we want to reward. So we made a list and wrote it down and followed that list of punishments and rewards when there was an issue. So, and I think that really helped to keep us consistent, and we didn't feel like things swayed by our emotions.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, we removed emotion from the punishment and reward equation, and we wrote it down. So we removed emotion, and we wrote it down, and then we did what we wrote down. And I think, like, to your point, I know if I'm tired or I'm grumpy or I'm stressed, I'm going to punish quicker and harder. Mm-hmm. Then if I'm well rested and I have no stress, I'm gonna probably let kids get away with more.
Well, and it could go the other way. You could be stressed out that you totally, I have done it where you're just like, I don't care what you do, just get out
of the room.
Yeah, right. Just leave. You know what I'm saying? So I think it can go either way. But if you have that consistency and, you can just go and okay, this is what's gonna happen. So
we actually identified like a handful of issues. Like, there was a period of time where lying was an issue.
Yeah.
So we said, if you lie, then this happens. And we wrote it down on paper. If you take something that's not yours, this is what happens.
Right.
And so it didn't matter what kind of mood we were in. We just did what was written. And that did two things. Number one, the kids just simply knew what was going to happen. In fact, the older they got, we were able to say, hey, just, what's going to happen, right? Like, you lied or you took something that's not, doesn't belong to you. Or whatever the issue was, go do what the paper says.
Yeah, I mean, we would actually post the paper. At times it was on our whiteboard where we kept our communication open. And then on other times it was on our fridge. So it was always on a spot where when our kids were older and they could read, they would go and they knew exactly what the punishment or the reward was for what they did. So,
and the older the kids got, we included them in that. We included that in the process. Like, we would sit down with them and say, okay, we're having an issue with, lying. Let's decide what is the punishment. If you tell a lie, what happens? And oftentimes they would come up with the punishments. Sometimes they're actually a little harsh. We'd have to temper a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But
especially
we
when
included
they were
them, right? Yeah.
The older they got, we're like, no, that's not going to work.
Yeah. So we included them in the process, and that actually turned out pretty helpful. But I would say to you, Vicky, how do you maintain consistency in punishment and reward? For us, we found two things work. Number one, remove emotions from the process. Number two, write it down and do what the paper says. And I will tell you, we will actually include, as a resource, we will include a document that we used for this process. Okay? Well, I hope that's helpful. Okay, so today we're going to talk about the first baby step in the first half parenting journey. And that is take care of yourself. If you don't know, we've said that there are six steps in the first half parenting journey. Take care of yourself, Number one. Number two, create a great environment. Number three, become the teacher. Number four, get a PhD in your child. Number five, learn how to discipline. Number six, call mulligans. So, babe, let's jump into baby step number one. So I remember before we had kids, we were experts on parenting. We knew how to parent perfectly. In fact, I remember lots of times when we would go into a restaurant or we'd be in, you know, the grocery store, Walmart, wherever, we'd see a kid acting out. We would say things like, when we have kids, they will never do that.
Yeah.
And then we had kids.
Yep.
And they did that. Right.
Yeah. So then we were scrambling, trying to figure out, okay, oh, we need good some Lord. Help.
Yeah. No, like there have been, there's a proverb that says, you know, an undisciplined child will embarrass his mother. And that's true. And I will tell you, if you're a parent of a child in the first half, you have been at some point, you have been embarrassed by your child.
Yes.
And we have too. But I will tell you, we stumbled on a, because for the longest time we had heard this idea that, you know, kids make their parents proud. Children are the pride of their parents. We had heard something along those lines. And you know it's true. I mean, listen to parents talk.
You see bumper stickers of proud parent of...
Yeah, proud parent of, you know...
This volleyball
right, or my child is an honor roll student. Yeah. So you see it. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Kids are the pride of their parents. But we stumbled on this proverb in Proverbs 17:6. It says, parents are the pride of their children. And I'll be honest with you, the more I considered that, the more we discussed that, I think that really turned our parenting paradigm on its head. You know, a proverb is not a guarantee. It's a principle. It's not a guarantee. It's a possibility. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you do some things right, there is a high likelihood that you, the parent, will become the pride of the child. And we all want kids who are proud of us at some point, right? And so as we begin to reflect on this, we realize there are certain things that we can do that will make us a point of pride for our kids. However, if we don't do those things, we may actually become a point of shame.
Yes.
For our children. And we all know people who are ashamed of their parents. They're mm-hmm. embarrassed by their parents. They don't want to be seen in public with their parents. They don't, right? Those are the parents who have, they're a point of embarrassment or shame or humiliation mm-hmm. or they anger their children. But Proverbs says that if done right, you will be a point of pride for your children. And so we really begin to dig into this. And I will tell you in the process, we read something. I do a lot of leadership reading. And if you've done much leadership reading at all, you've come across the name James Coos and Barry Posner. And they have written several best-selling leadership books. One of the books they wrote was The Truth About Leadership. And in this book, they did extensive research in which they asked this question, who is the most important role model for leadership in your life? And they, after they asked that question, they gave eight different categories from which these leadership role models might have come. For instance, business leader, a community or religious leader, an entertainer or a Hollywood star, a family member, a political leader, a professional athlete, teacher or coach, or other, none, or not sure. And when they got the results back in, they said, this is their quote, they said, regardless of whether one is under or over 30 years of age, when thinking back over their lives and selecting their most important leader role models, people are more likely to choose a family member than anyone else. And then they said this, Mom and Dad, it turns out, are the most influential leaders after all. So parents, Dad, Mom, we would simply say to you that you are the most significant influence in your child's life. Now, here's the news. You will either be a good influence mm-hmm. or you will be a bad influence.
Yeah.
Yep. You will be a foundation on which they can build their lives, or you will be a mess that they have to overcome in order to build a decent life.
No pressure, right?
Right. Get it together.
Oh, my goodness.
but you are the biggest point of influence in their life. And so as Sherry and I began to reflect on that, we came to this conclusion, and it really was this. If I'm going to be a point of pride for my children, if I'm going to be someone to whom my children can point and say, that's my dad, or that's my mom, and be happy with that, there are some things I'm going to have to do in order to be that point of pride, right? And the number one issue that I have to address is my own self-care. Now, I know that we talk a lot about that today, but I will tell you, I see parents all the time neglecting self-care. Yeah. They're falling apart right now, babe.
Yeah. Well, you can't. I mean, you know the old saying, you can't give what you don't have, right?
That's so true, right?
So when you're parenting, it's complete give. Your kids are not giving, so to speak, to you. It's you giving completely. So if you don't have anything to give, I mean,
Yeah. So one of the things one of our taglines, and if you get this, if you download the ebook that I'm going to share a link, one of the lines that we keep repeating over and over is, the better you are, the better they are. Listen, I will tell you, tired parents are not great parents. Hungry parents are not great parents. Exhausted parents, mentally exhausted parents are not great parents. Weak parents are not great parents. Broke parents are not great parents. Stressed parents are not great parents. If you're not taking care of yourself,
yeah,
your kids will suffer.
Yeah. Yeah. And it will be the home that you create. You will create that environment in your home. Like kids know when there's a peaceful environment, when things are well put together, they just know it, you know, they can 100%. Feel it. They can sense it. So I think, yeah, taking care of you helps to create the environment that you want your home to be.
So, you know, Sherry and I, we've laughed about this, but every home has a room that you basically say to your kids when company is coming over, do not open that door.
And inevitably, that door gets opened.
Right, yeah,
I swear.
Stupid kids, like, what are you doing?
No, sometimes it's not even kids. Like, you'll be like, I mean, maybe you should just put tape over the door or something, like, you know, that yellow tape that says, stay out, caution.
Yes, I mean, so for us, it was the laundry room for a long time growing up, right? We had 8 people in our home, a lot of little kids. And the laundry room was just a disaster. And so we're always like, for the love of God, do not open the laundry room door when company comes over.
Yeah, that was a hot mess.
But then the dining room, you know, that was always well kept. It was freshly painted. The table was very nice. You decorated just one. We were very pleased to show, to entertain company in our dining room, right? It was a room that we were very proud of. And then we had that room about which we were ashamed. And you know, we were talking about it the other day, and if we're not careful, you know, there are places and people in your life, places of which you're ashamed and people about which you're ashamed. But then there are places in your life about which you're very proud and people about which you're very proud. And if we're not careful, we become the laundry room to our children because we haven't cared well for ourselves.
Yeah, that's good.
And so we just simply are saying to you that the better you are, the better they will be. And so just in keeping with that thinking, like, you know, we talk a lot about this, that the best gift you can give to your kids is yourself.
Yeah. I think you say like a fully rested. I mean, how do you term it?
A well-rested, fully surrendered self.
Yeah.
Is the best gift you can give to your kids. And I mean, so we were thinking about this, like, think about the gifts that you give to your kids at Christmas time, at their birthdays, for graduation. I mean, it doesn't take, you know, 6 months and they've forgotten and moved on. You know, by next summer they're broken or in the yard sale.
Yeah.
You give lots of gifts to your kids, but I will tell you, better than a phone, better than a new gaming system, better than anything you can give to your kids is a healthy you.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, just in keeping on that conversation with gifts, I think from a kid's perspective, there's 3 kinds of gifts. There's the embarrassing gift. This is the gift that, you know, grandma gives you when you're 12 and she gives you, your 12-year-old boy, 13-year-old boy, and she gives you, like, you know, I don't know, some kind of Elmo doll or something stupid. You're like, grandma, I'm like almost a teenager. I don't play with dolls anymore. You know, that's embarrassing. You hide that gift.
Yeah.
You're never going to bring that gift out. You're never going to show it to your buddies. That's the embarrassing gift, right? And then there's the not helpful gift. It's not embarrassing, but it's not really helpful. It'd be like a tie. You know, grandma gets you a tie for Christmas and you're like, well, I'm not really embarrassed about it, but it's not tremendously helpful.
Yeah.
You wear it if you have to, you know, mom forces you to wear it to church or to graduation or whatever, but again, not embarrassing, but not helpful. But the third kind of gift from a kid's perspective is helpful. And that's the kind of gift that they love to be with. They love to engage. They love to play with. They love to tell their friends about. And I just want to say to you as a parent, I believe that it's possible for you to be a helpful gift to your kids. But it all comes down to this one thing. Will you care for yourself? Because here's the honest truth. Your kids will not care for you.
Yes. Definitely not. They don't come up and ask pretty much how they can take stuff off your plate or earn money or I mean, they might have a little bit of an agenda to help you, but it's not what you need.
I will tell you, the older our kids have gotten, but we're talking about first half parenting, right?
Right.
And I would say almost entirely during the first half of parenting, which is from infancy to right about the time they end elementary and go into middle school, somewhere that 11, 10, 11, 12 age group. I don't recall a conversation in which our kids came up to us and said, how can I help you care for yourself?
Yeah.
You know, how can I help you get some extra sleep? How can I carve out time for you to work out? How can I carve out time for you to read a book?
Or yes.
To, you know.
Be with a friend.
Be with a friend. Right. Now, the older they get, we are actually seeing them
right.
start
oh,
to
yes.
ask that question.
Absolutely.
But that's because we learned this in the first half. Right? If you don't care for yourself, Dad, no one will. Mom, if you don't care for yourself, no one will. So I will tell you, one of the questions we ask a lot is, who cares for the caregiver?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I think it's a good thing for parents to just, in this process, to remember each other, right? I mean, if you're hard at it, you know, busy, and I notice that, then it's good for me to say, hey, you haven't really, taking time and obviously doing it in such a sense that we're not criticizing them for not getting it done. Like I was going to say, you haven't gone to the gym for a while and you don't want that to be
you haven't gone to the gym, fatty.
Right. You don't want that to come off like that, but you want it to be in such a caring, you know, a caring point where you're like, hey, I've noticed that you haven't been able to have time to do this. So I think we should have each other's backs because we are the adults, right?
Yeah.
I think both parents should care and kind of look after each other. Like, hey, you haven't had girlfriend time or time away, you know? So, because your kids aren't going to do that.
They're not going to do that.
But we can hold each other accountable.
We can hold each other accountable. But I will tell you this too, in the instance of a single parent,
yeah.
They may not have anyone to fight for them. And so
grab a friend though. That's a great time
you can grab a friend. But I will tell you this too. And you know, in a healthy marriage, you know, the husband's going to look at the wife and say, I see that you haven't had much time to for you. I want to help you there. But not every husband is that self, not every spouse is that self or that aware. And unfortunately, we'll talk about that at another time. But at the end of the day, it really does come down to you. You must care for yourself. All right. So I think we've made the case that you need to care for yourself.
Yeah.
If you want to be the pride of your children, if you want your children to be okay in this world, it starts with you caring for yourself. Okay? I think we've made that case pretty good.
Yeah.
Anything else to say on that?
Oh, I mean, I was just going to make one other point. I feel like when you do care for yourself, you are being an example for your child.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I agree. I mean, right? I mean, you just made the statistics about kids are, you know, their parents are their role model.
And yeah.
So I'm just like, you as a parent, not only for just you, but also for your children. I mean, you're setting an example for them. And like we were talking now, some of our kids, well, almost all of our kids are now in the second half. Now they are coming to us because we have set that example. They are coming and saying, hey, I noticed you haven't gone on a date for a while, or you haven't been at the gym. So I think when you do take care of you, you're setting an example for your child.
Because
that's so beautiful. Then it gets passed on as well when they're older.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And they do it too.
Their self-care, right?
They do self-care too.
Right.
I'm literally watching our kids. Growing up, we told all of our kids, there are three things you got to do every day. Something physical, spiritual, and mental. And I'm watching them do that. And then we talked about other things, but those are three things you had to do every day.
Yeah.
And they do it now. It's fun to watch because we did it.
All right.
But so we've made the case. You have to take care of yourself because no one else is going to do it. If you're going to be a parent that makes your child proud, if you're going to be the kind of parent that can can build a foundation upon which your kids can build upon. If you're going to be the kind of parent that raises great kids, you have to take care for yourself. How do you do it? So we want to just give you two general principles, okay? Two general principles. Principle number one, be okay with unhappy kids.
Absolutely.
You've got to be okay unhappy kids.
You cannot please, oh my. You cannot please everybody, and that is including your children. Whew.
Yeah, so I think, let us give you three examples, all right? Let's talk about unhappy kids with money. I will tell you, I see this all the time, and we made this mistake too, right? And the idea is that your kid comes up to you and they want something that costs money that you don't have.
Yes.
But you want your kid to be happy.
Yes.
So you buy it for them. All right, let's just use the example of a phone. They want a new phone. You don't have the money, but you want them to be happy. So you buy them the phone. What happens, babe?
Well, I mean, where are you going there? They could have... I mean, you're sacrificing what you could have had, or your retirement, or your... I mean, right. all of that stuff.
So they have the phone and you have no money.
Right.
They have the phone and you have no money. And
a great example is, like, I mean, we've seen this where the parent will get the toy for the child. Maybe they want that big four-wheeler that, you know, is power automated in the front yard, and then they don't have food to eat.
Right.
Or they cut their groceries.
100% have seen,
you know,
that.
So, I mean, it's like you want that toy versus not enough money for groceries, right?
So we see it a lot. Parents buy things for their kids with money they don't have.
Yes.
And then they're financially stressed.
Yes.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Can a financially stressed dad be a good dad?
No, I mean,
I'm going to say no.
No, well, he might be
he's
able to
stressed.
Cover it. He might be able to cover it for a little bit, right? But a lot of times when this behavior continues because you don't have it under control, you can't keep covering that up. You can't keep hiding it. It will leak out.
Right. And I will tell you this too. If you give your kids everything they want, you're going to gift the world with an absolutely terrible adult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
But you're teaching them that every time they ask for something, they get it.
Right.
And that is not reality.
Right. It's okay to have an unhappy kid.
Yes.
So it's okay to tell them, no, you cannot have that today.
Yes.
No, we're not going to get that now. No, mm-hmm. I don't have any money in that cash envelope for you to have. It's okay for you to have an unhappy kid when it comes to the purchasing of things. It's okay. I will tell you, it's a great time for them to learn now. Because they are going to have a point in their life where they're not going to be able to have something that they really want. Teach them now.
And I would say again, I mean, I think I had mentioned this on maybe a video that we had posted. I think that when you teach them when they're young, it's easier than when you wait till they're older. It's easy to teach a younger child, like, no, we just can't get that now because we haven't saved for that, or the envelope is empty, rather than they're 15 and they're looking at you and they're like, well, I'm going to go get it anyways, or they're 25 and they're, you know, it's just easier to develop that habit younger. So,
yeah. So it's okay to have unhappy kids when it comes to the matter of financial things. I would say it's okay to have unhappy kids when it comes to the matter of bedtime. Listen, if your kids are going to bed, if you're little kids, right? If they're going to bed at the same time as you, that is absolutely going to, you're not going to have any personal time. You're not going to have any relational time with your spouse. You're not going to have any time to read or be quiet. It's okay to put your kids to bed before you.
Yeah, I mean, I will make this statement as well. Like, I feel like, you know, one parent might be enjoying time to themselves and the other parent is completely taking care of the kids. And if you don't put them to bed, I mean, that's just not even a fair situation, right? I mean, that's not okay.
Right.
I think it's, like, I loved when, you know, you want to talk to your other adult, right? Especially if you're at home with your kid all day or you haven't, you know, you might spend a little time with your kid, but you really haven't even seen your spouse or another adult in the picture. And then your kids are constantly at you. You're like, I think that causes stress and tension in the home. And I feel like if, you know, kids know that there's a bedtime, it brings relaxation. It brings, it just brings some peace about the home because adults can then communicate. They can keep things rolling.
You have a clean house. You can clean up your house. You can do your bills. You can do some yoga.
You can chill out for a minute, you know,
make a little love, you know,
without kids.
Yeah. So I will tell you, your kids will not be happy when you insist on a bedtime, But it's okay to have unhappy kids. It's what parents who do self-care well, they're okay with it. I'm okay if you're unhappy. I don't particularly care that you're frustrated because I'm making you go to bed. You're going to go to bed. And I will tell you, it will make for better kids and it'll make for better you as well. A third thing I would say when it comes to this matter of making your kids unhappy is a matter of food. Listen, this is the craziest thing, but I see parents, we see it a lot, right? And they're like, I can't get my kid to eat. I can't get my kid to eat. And so they don't make them eat at the dinner table, but then they let them get down and they drink juice and eat crackers all day long.
Yeah.
And then they sit down to eat something healthy and something good.
And they're not hungry.
And the parent's like, well, I can't figure it out. Well, I can.
Yeah.
Of course they're not hungry. They just ate, you know, a bag of animal crackers and eight juice boxes.
Yeah, if you cut all that out, they're going to sit at that table and they're going to be hungry.
Right. And here's the other thing. If your kid is constantly eating animal crackers and juice boxes, you're going to gift the world with a really large, sick adult.
Yes. No, that's right? Exactly right.
So, and again, I see parents like they'll eat good food and give their kids macaroni and cheese and hot dogs. Hey, I don't think that's okay. Right? And you do it because you don't want to fight with your kids. I can appreciate that, but what I'm telling you is sometimes it's okay to have an unhappy kid in order to create a great adult.
Well, and I just want to say too, I feel like you might have an unhappy kid for a little bit.
Yeah, that's just
so
true.
But it doesn't stay that way. If you are a consistent parent who does this consistently and says, and you just don't give in, you're like, nope. You're not getting the snack. You're not getting the juice. We're going to have dinner in an hour. You know what I'm saying? And then after a while, they just begin to follow that rhythm and they sit up and eat.
And guess what? Parents who do that are actually, they actually end up having a more peaceful life.
Mm-hmm.
If you make your kid, if you're okay with your kid being unhappy in these three areas, and of course there are others, these are examples, but if you're okay with your kid being unhappy with you,
yeah.
In the area of like, no, baby, I'm not going to buy that for you now. Or, hey, it's bedtime, you're going to bed. Or it's dinner time, you're going to eat some food with us. Or I'm not going to give you a snack, you know, now because we're eating in 30 minutes.
Right.
If you'll make your kid unhappy in those areas, you'll actually, a couple things will happen. Number one, you will actually, that's one way of beginning to care for yourself.
Yes.
Because your kid will go to bed.
Yes.
Your kid will, they'll eat decent food, so they'll feel better.
Yes.
They'll learn after a while when mom or dad says, no, we're not going to get it. They actually mean it. They'll stop bugging you all the time about this. As a parent, I want to tell you this. It's okay to have unhappy kids.
For a season. Right? You wouldn't want to... I mean, you know what I'm saying?
And listen, we bought our kids so much crap, and we eat candy. Listen, we can just put a beating on a bag of Takis and Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies. We can eat some Swedish fish and some sour gummies. And we're not freaks like that, right? But
our kids can sit up and eat good food.
Our kids consistently sit up and eat good food.
Right.
Right. And so I would just tell you, you want to learn how to care for yourself. Step number one, be okay with unhappy kids. Okay? And I flesh this out more in the ebook. Encourage you to download that. Step number two, put you on the calendar.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So,
and don't feel bad about it.
Don't feel bad. Remember,
I just talked with a mom who felt bad for spending time on herself.
No.
And I was like, you've got to spend time on you. You have children that are always at you. They're pulling at you constantly to go to this game or do this here or nap time here. It's okay for you to spend a couple hours on you.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
It's changing the oil on the car. If you don't stop and change the oil on the car doesn't work. You have to change the oil on the car. Mom and dad, you've got to stop. You've got to pay attention to yourself or you're not going to win in the parenting game. You're not going to enjoy the parenting process. You're not going to be healthy. And remember, a sick you does not produce healthy kids.
And I will say, like, I want to kind of go back to that a minute. Like, so it's on the calendar, but that does not require, or that does not mean that you will, that you will be maybe the first couple of times not feeling bad about it.
Oh, you're going to feel bad about it
for a while.
You know what
I'm saying? Yeah. But eventually, it will be like, yes, I cannot wait to get out the door and have my time.
Yeah.
And that is okay.
And you, listen, okay. When you go take care of yourself, you'll come back to your kids healthier, happier, more energetic, more passionate, more focused, more attentive.
Yes.
It's a really big deal. You've got to take care of yourself because no one else will. And so you put it on the calendar. And I will tell you, those times change. When your child is an infant, when they're a toddler, when they're in elementary school, those times are going to change, right? And so, for instance, if it's in, like, talk to us a little bit about how to care for your child when they're an infant as opposed to when they're a toddler, as opposed to when they're in elementary. Give us just a real quick, how'd you do that when the kids were infant? How did you do self-care? Because I was working a lot of hours. I wasn't at home as much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, for me, I used, we talked about it in the first podcast, I definitely used their nap time as time for self-care for me. And then putting them to bed early. Like, those were, I would kind of get a little bit upset if I didn't have those, because those were my times to refuel, whether I wanted to read, whether I wanted to clean, whether I wanted to, it didn't necessarily mean I got out of the house, so to speak, unless I got a babysitter. But, I encourage you moms to we used a babysitter. Like, get a babysitter. Your child is not going to die with somebody else watching them. They will be okay. Like, we would regularly go out and date. We would get a sitter so we could go to the mall, to shop. You know what I'm saying? Like, take time to get a sitter and go out. Go out with some girlfriends. So right. That's in infancy, you know, like I've done that in infancy. We've done that.
Yep.
And then I think when they are older, you know, they get more, you know, like school age. I'm trying to think what I would have done at that point. I mean, I think we still got sitters at points. I think infancy is the bigger deal for me, as far as parents tend to want to shy away from taking that time because your child is so little.
Right.
Get somebody that you trust. Obviously, that's a big deal today, right? I mean, you want to make sure that you don't leave them with, you know, somebody that you don't trust. But, and then go do it. Go enjoy. Your kid, you will be better for it. And your kid, honestly, your child being with other people is a good thing,
too.
Oh,
gosh, yeah.
So... don't hesitate on, you know, putting babysitting in the line item of the budget and using it.
Well, I mean, tired parents are not great parents. Mm-mm. Stressed parents are not great parents. You know, sick or unhealthy parents are not great parents. And listen, if you don't put you time on the calendar, if you don't plan your time, someone else will. And they're always going to take. Anybody that plans your time is going to be taking. At some point, you've got to create a place where there's giving into yourself.
Yes.
And you are the only one that's going to do it, right? So put some you on the calendar without shame, without guilt. It is a gift to your child. Listen, you are the best gift you can give to your child.
I want to say one other thing here quick. I know that, you know, another thing that I would do with my kids was when they were really little, infant, toddler, I would take them away with me. Like, I, you know, obviously I would maybe in the morning grab them before they had to go for their nap, and we would go out, and I love a great cup of coffee. So I would grab a nice cup of coffee, and, you know, sometimes when they were little, they'd fall asleep at 10 a.m., you know, at 10 a.m. in the carrier. And I was okay with that. I would grab my cup of coffee and put them in the stroller and walk through the mall and have a great time. Just, you know, so not necessarily my kid was not with me, but I was still having me time. Because I had my drink and I was walking through the mall and everything was good. So yeah. I think you can still make you time when they're little, because they'll fall asleep and, you know, that kind of thing. So don't hesitate to get out because you have a small child.
Yeah. No, that's at the end of the day, it just really does come back to this. The better you are, the better they are.
What did you do? I mean.
Well, so for me, I've just found that and even now, like for me, my me time is early in the morning. Before anybody gets up. So I get up pretty early because I know that no one is going to get up. And even now that our kids are older, I know that once they get up, they want my attention. They need some dad time. And so I get up early and I read, I take care of my spiritual life, and I work out. So before anyone gets up, I've paid attention to my physical, spiritual, and mental. And then I'm better equipped for the day. I don't like to sleep in for that very reason. So that's how I've done it. I've always got up early in the morning and cared for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if you needed, like if I wasn't here and you needed to get away when they were little, you would have just.
I did. I just got up early in the morning. I've always, even when you're not gone, which I hate when you're gone. Mm-hmm. I don't. When you're gone, everything falls apart in our house. Like our diet looks like like
well, not
the
so
nearest
much,
drive-through.
Not
and,
so much anymore.
Well,
maybe
yeah,
when the kids were little.
Our kids are older now, but
yeah, I would get the calls or the stories.
Mom,
like,
this is
oh
awesome. We're
gosh.
Going to McDonald's.
Seriously,
it's ridiculous. But parents, listen, we got to tell you this. We love you. You can absolutely do this. The better you are, the better they are. Listen, we're going to give you some resources. We're going to upload an ebook. It's baby step number one, take care of yourself. Check out our YouTube channel, First Half Parenting, on YouTube. Our website, firsthalfparenting.com. And you can find this podcast on Spotify, Podbean, and on the podcast app on your iPhone. If you have questions, please send them to us. We want to field them, okay? Paul@firsthalfparenting.com. And to all of you, we just want to say a big thanks for listening. If this has been helpful to you, please share it on your social media. Tell other people about it. Encourage them to listen. And we thank you for joining us on this journey. We want to help you enjoy and do the first half of the parenting journey well.
Hey,
all right?
Don't forget to tell them if they have questions. Did you ask that?
Or yep, I sure
that?
Did. All right. If you guys have questions, we just had a kid walk in the door. So if you guys awesome. Have questions, send them in. We'll field them. We love you guys. You got this. See ya.
Bye.
You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.